When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Joining us on the show this week is the one, the only, Adam Ronis. You can find him on Twitter at Adam Ronis. You hear him over at Fantasy Alarm Picks Wise. Mr. Ronis, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Been a while. Obviously, we're all busy doing multiple sports, but it's good to catch up again.
Yeah, I always forget, like, Ronis is, we're all cut from the same breed. Multiple sports, the grind, doing all the stuff, but you're doing great stuff. What's going down in your world, too, by the way, as far as, like, shows and everything like that? I know you got the SiriusXM. What's going on over at Alarm Picks Wise? What do you got to plug?
Yeah, doing a lot of stuff. I'm actually over now at the Better Sports Network. You can find them on Twitter at Better Network, and you can download the app. So I'm doing a show there Monday through Friday with Justin Fensterman from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And then Sundays on game day, 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern as well. For picks-wise, I do mostly basketball betting. I do some TV as well with MSG in the tri-state area. Usually once a week, can get my picks there. Obviously, give up some NFL picks on the show on the Better Sports Network as well. Weekly rankings for football at Fantasy Alarm as well, as I write the weekly Survivor pick article. And even as I wrote that at week one, I said, I'm not really feeling good about a lot of these picks. And I hope people took my number one play, which was Baltimore. My 2 and 3 were the Colts and the 49ers. So hopefully you took the right. I mean, but did you see this?
My number one would have been the Broncos. So,
Mine would have been as well. What were you saying? What did we see? What?
Circa Survivor in Las Vegas, like over 50% of the pool is out. That's a huge pool. I think 5 of the top 7 picks were all eliminated. So I knew going in it was going to be a very difficult week because you had a lot of home underdogs. And I gave out 3 road favorites. And I was like, I'm not sure. I even wrote up with, you know, Trey Lance on the road. I wrote it on Wednesday, so I didn't know what the weather was going to be at the time. Yeah. The Colts I knew was kind of dicey, but I expected them to win. And they were down big, came back, and then a tie in overtime. But yeah, it was a rough week. I mean, even Denver, I talked about on the show yesterday. I did not expect Denver to lose, but I said, this is a trap. It's 6 points. Everyone's taking Denver. There's no reason to take Seattle. Like, whatever you do, whatever you, there's no reason to take Seattle. And when I see that, I'm like, you got to be careful when all the money's on one side. We saw last week with Alabama, first half. Alabama always covers in the first half. I saw like 99.7% of the money was on that. And what happened? Alabama didn't, they weren't, it was a close game. They didn't cover. They almost lost. But yeah, I was very worried about that game last night. And I know people like, oh, well, Denver should have won. They fumbled twice and this and that. But that,
they had
12
penalties. Yeah. But like they should have won, but it doesn't matter. You know,
right.
As Chris Pratt tells us.
Home underdogs on Monday night, man. It's just as bad as Seattle was on paper. And again, they caught a lot of breaks, but I was very worried about that game. So I thought week one Survivor was very, very difficult. If you somehow survived, congratulations.
Yeah, it was a wild week. I mean, I was a total square. I thought Denver was going to win by a million. Shocked at how bad they looked. Their defense looked like absolute garbage.
They missed a million tackles.
They missed tackles, bad coverage. The penalties were wild. The Niners had the same issue. The Niners had the same issue. Russ Wilson looked stiff. But I was very square and kind of the same thing with the Niners. I had the fear about the Niners. I had a teaser bringing the Niners down because I just had a bad feeling. Little did I know I needed to tease it a lot more than it ended up being. I needed to just go with the Bears. So it was a wild week one. But the good thing about it, and this is why we save our first guest to come into week two, is we had a time to process. We now see all these teams. We've got a good concept of where defenses, offenses look. Some aren't going to be reality. You know, is at the end of the day, is Denver going to be this bad? No. Are the 49ers going to be as bad as they were? Probably not. We're going to have a lot of adjustments, and that's what we're here to break down. We're going to be going through some ranks here for week two. We got some different categories, but Ronis is a Cowboy fan. You know, God willing for you. We're sorry. Very sorry for about the season for you, Adam. It's going to be a tough year.
If you don't like the Cowboys, you hate them. So,
as a 49er fan, I'm very sorry for you. I really feel for you. No, but
as a Steelers fan, I definitely feel for you.
Yeah, we are like this weird trifecta of the 90s, all where our 90s are all very coinciding here.
Your 90s are showing.
Yeah, we're going to get into the ranks, but I do want to ask you about the Cowboys situation and how you are tackling the rest of the Cowboys. I mean, it looks like at this point, I've made my case. I'm not going to do it anymore about Jimmy Garoppolo with the Cowboys, why the Niners should do it. Obvious. It's pretty obvious why the Cowboys should do it. Looks like they're going to go with Cooper Rush, but how are you approaching the other pieces? Because Cooper Rush means nothing here outside of super flex drafts in two quarterback leagues. But you know, what type of dip does CeeDee Lamb, who, you know, was it 11 targets and caught two balls, Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, what do the pieces look like as far as coming up and down weekly ranks for you right now with Cooper Rush at quarterback?
I mean, clearly they're all going down. I mean, I think you're going to play CeeDee Lamb, but your expectations are way lower. And this is a guy that went at the end of the first round, early second round in almost every draft. And I did get him in a couple. I think even Ezekiel Elliott's going to be hurt. Tony Pollard, obviously. I mean, we didn't even see much of him. But I was worried about the Cowboys going into the season. I felt the Eagles were going to win this division. I thought they were the better team. And Dallas had a lot of issues. Tyron Smith being out, then McGovern went down. I mean, their offensive line was always the strength. That's what you always talk about. It's not a strength anymore. And you saw it against Tampa. And I know Tampa Bay is a very good defense, but they looked lost. They were the only team not to score a touchdown. They had a lot of problems moving the football. They have inexperience at wide receiver. I mean, no one could get open. It was just a disaster all around, and I just don't expect it to be better going forward. I know there's some optimism now that maybe Dak Prescott can return in 4 weeks and they're not going to put him on IR, but then you run the risk of him coming back and getting hurt once again.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
So the Seahawks did that same thing with Russell Wilson last year, too. They rushed him back too quick, and he looked terrible.
Right, and the same thing could occur again. So, again, with Lamb, you can't trade him. You know, everyone's going, oh, should I trade him? Well, everyone knows what's going on. You're just not going to get good value. You just have to hope that they can find a way to get him the football. And Zeke looked good on his touches, but again, they're probably going to be playing from behind quite a bit. I know the defense did a pretty good job against Tampa, at least limiting them in the red zone, but they're going to be on the field quite a bit. Schultz, I think, takes a big hit too, because you were dependent on volume, and I didn't draft him anywhere. You know, he's going fifth, sixth to tight end. I think you got to lower him as well because less opportunities. And I don't think any of the other wide receivers are even worthy of being picked up. I know Noah Brown would have probably been someone people look at in deeper leagues, but I don't think you can at this point. So it's going to be tough. They're home this week against the Bengals. I mean, the look ahead was Cowboys favored by 2.5. Now the Cowboys are dogs by 7 at home. And then the week after, they got Monday night against the Giants. So I think you have to lower expectations for pretty much the entire offense at this point. I mean, really, it was two guys. I mean, Lamb, Schultz, and Zeke were the main guys anyway. So, yeah, you're going to move them down. You know, Zeke's probably in the, you know, low RB2. Lamb's probably wide receiver 2, and Schultz probably right around 10 to 12 at tight end would be my guess. I'll be working on my rankings today for the
week. Yeah, the only thing I didn't do, I agree with almost everything you said. I moved Lamb outside of the top 12 for week 2. Especially looking at matchups, he's not inside my top 12. You know, again, what does that mean? There's probably, I can't imagine anyone has scenarios where you really can take him out, but you might find in two wide, you know, in 10 team leagues with two wide receivers, maybe you got a lot of depth, you kind of change up. The only guy I didn't move, and I'm taking a shot on this week, is Dalton Schultz, actually, is what you said, because I feel like in backup quarterback, rookie quarterback situations, you're going to look for safety nets. And the other guy I would add into this is Pollard, because I think they're going to be coming from behind. Those are the two guys I didn't really ding. I actually moved Schultz. I'm going to be pretty aggressive on Schultz this week, just thinking that he is going to be the ultimate safety net down the middle, that they're not going to find a whole bunch. And that if you are in a lot of, you know, coming from behind and a whole lot of passing downs instead of running, that Tony Pollard's going to get a little bit of run. But I dumped down Elliott and I dumped down CeeDee Lamb pretty significantly. And it's a pretty brutal blow.
I think I initially moved CeeDee Lamb down too far, and then I moved him back up a little bit. But I mean, you can have a bad offensive line and make it out with a good quarterback and be okay. You can have a good offensive line and make and survive with a okay quarterback like Geno Smith. We just saw Seattle do that with an improved offensive line. You can't have a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line. It doesn't matter how good the weapons are around them. It just ain't gonna work. So
yeah. Well, also, you know, Cincinnati gave up a whole bunch of receptions and yards to Firemuth last week. So that was kind of my thought process with Dalton Schultz, is they can probably have a similar game plan to it. I don't know where the run game is going to go. That is also why we could be surprised by CeeDee Lamb this week, is they're playing from behind so much that they're going to have to sling the ball. And you saw, especially on outside stuff, you saw like Deontay Johnson kind of take
advantage. They can get him lined up against Eli Apple, you know, if they can move him around and stuff. They're going
to They need to get innovative.
Reverses. I bet you see some reverses with CeeDee too, short passes, like. So it, you know, that's why I started thinking about that stuff. I started ticking him up a little bit more after my initial reaction was, ugh, this guy's barely a wide receiver too. I think I got him in mid wide receiver twos. Ronis, I want your quick opinion. We'll lightning round through these ones. Just how you see some of these running back situations playing out here. Let's start out with the Niners. The Welsh's favorite team here, obviously Eli Mitchell, who I had, I think, every share of. Pretty much the Welsh
number one shared player. Yeah.
All the leagues that we had, I think we combined for 100% of the Eli Mitchell shares. Yep. So obviously a blow to us, but it looks like Jeff Wilson now. How else do you see this playing out? Do you think TDP gets involved even though he didn't get a helmet last week? How do you see this whole Niners running back situation playing out?
Yeah, it's tough with the Niners. I mean, because everyone's going to run towards Wilson, you know, but it could be Davis Price or even Jordan Mason. Mason was active. He didn't get any touches. Davis Price, it seems like, could be the guy they're looking at long term, but didn't play special teams, so he was inactive. But let's not forget, you also have Deebo Samuel there getting carries and Trey Lance. So that's the biggest factor there. So, you know, I'll go after Wilson. I'm not going to spend a ton. And then I'll have, you know, the one thing I do that I don't think enough people do, and I'll see it sometimes in the sites that show the bids. Sometimes people will just bid on two or three players. I'll have 12 players that I bid on with a drop, and then a bunch of $1 or minimal price, depending on whether it's 1,000 or 100. But I'll have Mason and Davis Price in those lower bids. And if I get one of them, but it's tough to know. I think everyone's going to go after Wilson. You would think he's the guy. I know he didn't look great last week, but I mean, the weather there was insane. It's tough to really gauge much in that game. And we know the 49ers tend to go with one back. So I would lean towards Wilson, but I'm not going to blow the bank on him.
All right. The rest of these, I'll just, who do you want in this backfield? And we'll just burn through these real quick. Chicago.
Montgomery or Herbert?
Herbert.
How about Buffalo?
Singletary.
Houston?
Pierce long term, but it's Burkhead right now. Man.
I mean, it's all our faces, by the way, if anyone's watching the replay of the video site on YouTube, we're all like, our eyebrows all kind of raised up, because it's like, can we say Rex Burkhead? But Damian Pierce long term is the right answer.
Right. And, you know, so okay, with real quick with Pierce, you know, I was getting him in early drafts round 10. FSGA was a 14 team league. We did it in June. I took him in round 7, and then everything happened. I felt good. And he went 4-1 in my home league. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, that's, you know, like anything in life, right? Everything has a price. We talk about it all the time. And that's why drafting early can be a benefit. You know, you get these guys cheap, then they rise, and you're like, I'm out. And that's what I did with Pierce. But I think you do have to be patient with him, but it's Burkhead right now.
Then Jacksonville.
I'm sticking with ETN. I mean, I know he had a bad game, but that was his first NFL game. So he had the bad drop. He was wide open for a touchdown, and Lawrence missed him. And it was essentially a split. I know you saw more Robinson in the second half, but I think Jacksonville, even though I think they're better, they'll play more from behind. And ETN got all the two-minute drills, a lot of the passing work, and especially whether you're PPR, half-point PPR, those pass-catching backs are more valuable. So I'm going ETN.
I think they'll both work, but ETN is, I think, the better back. How about Washington? Mess.
It's Gibson right now. I mean, that's look, you got to admit, you got lucky if you have Gibson now, if you got him around 7, 8, or 9, because the whole offseason was terrible. Okay. They drafted Robinson in the third round. McKissick was gone to Buffalo and they brought him back. Gibson was working with the punt team. And I love Gibson. I had him a lot last year. I think the guy's extremely talented, but you lucked
in. They don't like him.
They don't. It's clear. You have to read what the team is telling you sometimes. So if you got him around 7, 8, 9, you got lucky. And look, it worked out. I mean, I think I had him ranked 16th at running back this past week. And you know, because you knew, okay, he's going to get most of the touches and he looked really good. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Robinson comes back, you know, if he's ready to come back after 4 weeks. But right now, it's got to be Gibson.
I wish a team like the 49ers would trade for Gibson. I wish you could make that happen. They hate him so much. Like, here, you guys take Jeffrey Wilson or you take whatever you want, really. Just pick our backfield, you take it, and Gibson 8 weeks and that. Please.
That would be great. Last one. Last one, Seattle.
Oh, this is tough because it looks like Kenneth Walker's coming back this week. You know, Penny only had 12 carries.
They ran more than any team last year.
And then they said, oh, Geno Smith, go ahead, throw. Yeah. Like,
that he looked good. Penny looked good early on, too.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, if they did that with Russell Wilson, maybe Russell Wilson didn't want to be traded out of there. I thought
they didn't have Cross and Lucas. Those two picks completely rebuilt that line. And how pissed do you have to be if you're Russell Wilson now, watching this, knowing you didn't have an offensive line the last 5 years, and they have two picks, and they both hit this year, and Geno's just sitting back there with time. That's crazy.
Right. I mean, Geno's coming out slinging the ball on the first drive. Russell's like, wait a second. If I was there, you would have called 10 straight running plays. So I might go Walker here just because.
Yeah, Ronis.
Penny's injury history. And again, they drafted Walker early. So I'm intrigued to see how it plays out this week. But I thought that was disappointing. That was a disappointing game for Penny if you had him because.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league,
break it down.
They were winning. They were up, and
he just didn't get enough touches.
Period. He didn't. Like, and you would have. I think
that's not his fault,
right? And you know, it was funny. I don't know how much you guys follow. I'm sure you do. But player props. Penny last week was 50 and a half rushing yards, and it closed at like 67 and a half, 68 and a half, and he still didn't go over it. So if you were able to get it early, because you know you had to read the indications where that Walker was going to play. And then I think as the book saw that and people bet it up, he kept going up and he still didn't go over it. And if I would have told you Seattle's going to win 17-16 and play from ahead most of the game, you were like, oh yeah, Penny's going to have a great game. And they just didn't give him the volume in that game. So that was a little surprising to me. I thought that would have been the one game you could count on, you know, 18 to 20 touches and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my square play of Denver did not pay, but I did have Cortland Sutton receiving yards, which is a prop and driving me absolutely bonkers in the first quarter. But then we broke it out. I think in the third quarter, we finally cashed it. So into the player props for Monday Night Football. All right. Let's talk about week two. Let's talk about some ranks. We are going to play a little. It's kind of like a rank game where we're going to get into surprises of different positions. This gives us a chance to talk about players without droning on about, you know, this rank and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to start with quarterbacks. And this week, we're actually changing up. We used to do like the top quarterback. We're going to have the surprise QB1 of the week. So this is a quarterback. We're loose about all of it. We roughly will use like the aggregate of Fantasy Pros. But, you know, sometimes the guys are going to move up and down. Doesn't really matter. But this is a surprise guy that jumps into quarterback one, however you feel about it. And Adam, we'll let you kick it off here. So a guy that maybe not a typical QB1 that is going to be a surprise QB1 for this week or jumps into that category, either even on the bottom end or really high.
All right. Well, he was a surprise in week one, and I think he's going to have another good game. It's Carson Wentz on the road against Detroit. Game totals 49. And, you know, they did some good things on offense. You know, Curtis Samuel's healthy. Jahan Dotson had a couple of touchdowns. Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas was healthy. You mentioned Antonio Gibson. And we saw Detroit, more so on the ground, get shredded by Philly. But we know Detroit still doesn't have a good defense. So, you know, if you lost Dak Prescott, I think Carson Wentz, at least for week two, is someone that will finish as a QB1.
We talked about him in the pickups on the Monday episode, too. That's one of those guys. It's a good matchup. I actually like that one. Mine isn't quite as deep. Actually, when I did it last night, he was a spot lower. I submitted my ranks last night, which maybe even helped. And I think a few people jumped on it. But I am going to go with Derek Carr. And Derek Carr, this is more of just not even just falling in, but I think could get into that middle range. I think we could find him even QB7, 6, 7, 5 this week or something like that. Cardinals gave up the most passing yards last week, 360. Davante Adams looks fantastic. Waller looks like he's going. I think Hunter Renfro is going to get going in this game. That defense for the Cardinals stinks. It's stanky, and I hate it. And I think that I think their car is going to be slanging it. And this isn't just about even surprise QB1, but this is going to be a surprise mid QB1 this week. And I'm going to go with Derek Carr. I think like I said, he was 11 or 12 when I did it. I think he's moved up to 10 now on the Fantasy Pros rank. So it's a little bit wonky here, but he is a big, high surprise. He's actually number 11 right now.
I love that pick. Derek Carr against the Cardinals. Cardinals secondary look like trash against Patrick Mahomes. So that's a good one. I got a troll one for you. How about Trey Lance back in as a QB1?
No.
And here's my reasoning behind this. I know the Seahawks look good, particularly on defense. My boy Cody Barton, by the way, my IDP sleeper, my number one IDP pick for the year was Jordan Brooks. Those played off pretty good for you last night. But Trey Lance, they're going to have to work this run game away. Can't all go to Jeff Wilson, and he's going to have to eat a big chunk of that responsibility, Trey Lance. And hopefully you get Kittle back too, which changes the whole dynamic of the offense. Plus, you're not playing where they're loading up animals two by two into the arc this week, hopefully, in San Francisco. So I think all those little factors, no Eli, hopefully we get George Kittle back, and the fact you're playing at home and not in that nasty weather, I think it's all going to make Trey Lance a little bit better on each phase, which could get him back into QB1 status after a disgusting first week of 2022 for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about this. The only thing I'd say, like, Trey Lance needs to look less like Anthony Richardson at Florida and needs to look like really any other good quarterback. They said something, I said this in the last episode, but they said something, if you watch the Florida game this weekend, Anthony Richardson, big upcoming, you know, Heisman-type candidate. And the thing they were noting in is every single pass that he threw was going like 100 miles an hour. And you can't throw like, you have touch. To have touch in the NFL. He's no touch. And Trey Lance is suffering that right now. He had one touch pass, if you watch the game, to Juwan Jennings deep. Everything else, these short yardage passes, he cannot throw a wide receiver screen, which killed Debo. He couldn't hit anything on the middle. His reads look bad. So I see why you do this. I think this is a horrible call because Trey Lance is garbage. And he's going to be a trash this week, and I don't have him as a QB1, but I get why you
way
do
to look
this
on the bright surprise. Side.
This is your surprise. And by the way, Debo Samuel will lead the team in rushing this week for everything we care about. Jeff Wilson,
Trey
and
Lance
everybody else.
will lead the team in rushing.
All right, well, let's put a bet on it. You and me, side bet. Debo versus Lance, and if Jeff Wilson, it's a tie. All right, we're going to snake this. So we're going to go back around. Quick, Ronis, what do you think? Lance or Debo leading the team in rushing this week? What side?
Debo.
There we go. Ronis on my side. All right, we're going to snake this. So now we're going to come back around. This is our sleeper quarterback for the week. So we're not saying they're going to jump into QB1 territory, but a lesser owned quarterback that we like to have a good performance. A sleeper quarterback of the week, Bogman, you get to go first.
Give me Danny Dimes against this terrible Carolina Panthers defense. They looked god awful last week against Cleveland. And I think there's going to be a lot of focus on stopping Saquon because he chewed up the Titans last week. So going to get a decent amount of RPO. Plus, he looked good. Hopefully, they figure out this wide receiver situation with the Giants because you can't keep Wandale Robinson and Kadarius Toney on the sidelines. You just can't do it. So Richie James ain't going to get it done. So, but I like Danny Dimes this week because mainly because the Panthers are bad, but I also think Danny Dimes is going to rush for at least one touchdown. So let's go with Daniel Jones against the Panthers.
I'm going to move over to Indy and I'm going to take Matt Ryan. Jacksonville gave up the fourth most passing yards this week, this past week. Matt Ryan threw it 50 times. And I know you could say, oh, they can't have him pass another 50 times. No, they can, because I don't think they can run Jonathan Taylor out 30 plus carries every single game as well. I think you're going to get Paris Campbell more involved. You're going to get more Nyheim Hines. And this is a defense that I think they can take advantage of. Plus, they got to be pissed for not pulling out that win. So Matt Ryan is ranked around 19th on Fantasy Pros as far as consensus quarterbacks this week. So if I were in desperation, we talked about the Dak Prescott situation. I think there are some guys that you could have out there, and Wentz, who Ronas had as his surprise QB one of this week. And I think Matt Ryan and even Daniel Jones, all options you could go with. So that's going to be my surprise QB of the week. Ronas, who do you got for surprise QB? If not one of our guys, who else you got?
Was Matt Ryan, because if you look, Alec Pierce dropped a touchdown and Ashton Doolin dropped a touchdown. Yeah. So you could have had a better game, and Jacksonville has some questions, but I have someone else. I'll go with Jared Goff. He's got the weapons. I know he's not a great quarterback, but he had two touchdowns, 215 passing yards against Philly. But a better matchup this week. Washington has some injuries in the secondary. Amon-Ra St. Brown, DJ Chark, Hockenson, DeAndre Swift. I mean, this team's going to put up points. They're going to move the football. Their weakness is the defense.
I almost thought about him, too. That's a good one. And we can put it on the board that you agreed with me on Matt Ryan. So we snake around to running backs. And Ronas, you get to go first on this. So this is going to be a surprise RB1 for the week. And I will admit that you can fudge this one a little bit, because I think it's really hard to like get guys into RB1 territory here. So this almost is going to kind of be like an RB2 that we really like, but we'll just go with the theme here of a surprise RB1, maybe performance out of this group. You get to go first. So who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, because touches are so important here, and on a week-to-week basis, we pretty much know. Obviously, there's a few surprises, but I'm going to go with Antonio Gibson here. You know, he was 14 carries, 58 yards against Jacksonville, 4.1 yards a pop, but he caught 7 passes for 72 yards. And again, the matchup this week here against Detroit, we saw them get absolutely shredded on the ground by Philly. I mean, all three of their running backs and Jalen Hurts had rushing touchdowns. Philadelphia barely did anything through the air. So we know Gibson's a talented back, and 21 touches in week one. So I think he can do it again and put up better numbers, maybe even finding the end zone once or twice.
I love that one. I love that you sniped Bogman on that one. That was his.
Yeah.
I think Antonio Gibson is the guy here. That's the big one to point at. I'm going to go with AJ Dillon. I think you definitely could look at Aaron Jones and you could say Aaron Jones is set for a big one, but you've got the Chicago Bears coming in. The Bears gave up 176 rushing yards of 49ers. Obviously, the situation was very specific, but Trey Lance was running on him. Eli Mitchell averaged 6.8 yards per carry. If we want to even take out like the slushy stuff and everything, the beginning of the game was pretty innocuous, and Eli Mitchell looked fantastic beforehand. And A.J. Dillon last week had 10 carries, 45 yards with a score, but was also targeted 6 times in the passing game. And this is something we talked about in the offseason, that the end of the day, some of the biggest primary pass catchers could be out of the backfield. And we assume it's going to be Aaron Jones. I'm a little bit worried about the team readjusting to Aaron Jones having a big week. But A.J. Dillon was getting a lot of those first carries, especially mid-game, that I think if this team gets up, if they're just pounding and grinding, I think A.J. Dillon's going to be the guy. I think he's going to up the carries. I think he's going to get in the receiving game. And I think he's going to score a touchdown again. So I think A.J. Dillon is going to push into that range. And that's going to be my surprise RB1 of the week. What do you got, Boggs?
Well, it was Antonio Gibson, obviously. But I just saw that Javonte Williams is ranked 13. So let's go with Javonte Williams as a surprise RB1, obviously, with the 11 catches. The only player with more catches than Javonte last week was Cooper Kupp. He, I think, was like somewhere in the range of tied for 12th for most touches of anyone in week one as well. And the 60-40 split was in his favor over Melvin Gordon, and they both fumbled. So it's not like he fumbled and they both fumbled at the goal line too, like idiots. So there's not like, hey, we're mad at Javonte for fumbling, because we're also mad at Melvin Gordon for fumbling. So No harm, no foul there in terms of workload. So let's go with Javonte to put up big numbers again against them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Javonte looks so good. And I've been staring at my ranks.
Like three explosive runs, had a bunch of missed tackles, he looked great.
So I'm looking at this, and I think he's like 13 on Fantasy Pros. I'm trying to justify how I don't put him top eight or something right now. I mean, Houston gave up 177 yards on the ground last week. Javonte got all of the receiving stuff, which we saw Melvin Gordon get early on. Javonte looked killer. Ronis, just real quick. How are you going to treat Javonte this week? I know you said you're going to be really tackling the ranks from a big perspective this week, but like, do you think Javonte, like here, a couple of the guys that are right above him are like Leonard Fournette, Alvin Kamara. And it's like, don't you think we could justify him going? I know those are, you know, big power offense and Leonard Fournette. Kamara was struggling with an injury last week that they think will be fine. But like, don't you think we can go Javonte heavy over that? Or do you think the Denver offense is just going to struggle and Javonte is going to just not get enough of a work share that's going to make him elite?
No, I think you can move him up. I mean, he had 11 receptions. So
it's crazy.
I mean, I know Melvin Gordon's in the picture there, but you know, I think there was a tough spot for them in week one on the road in Seattle. Seattle was fired up. You know, Pete Carroll got them fired up for Russell Wilson making his return there. So now they're at home against Houston. Houston's coming off an overtime game. So you know what's crazy? I think you could put him over Derrick Henry.
I did. Wow. So funny that you just said Derrick that because Henry, right. Go ahead.
I mean, they're going to Buffalo on a Monday night, Buffalo's home opener, and Buffalo is coming off a Thursday night extra rest. I think Buffalo is going to destroy Tennessee. And if that does happen, are we going to see a lot of Dontrell Hilliard on passing downs? And, you know, Henry had a mediocre game against the Giants. I mean, he had a
I moved Derek. Henry down. Yeah, I moved Henry down for this week. And I literally, as we were talking, I'm staring at Javonte Williams and Derrick Henry. And I think I might move Javonte over Derrick Henry for this week. But I probably have Henry a little bit lower than most people.
My whole thing with Derrick Henry is if they get within the five, like he's getting the ball.
The question is, will they get within the five?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true. Well, how many times? They'll get there, but how many times? Like, you know, it's tough. And I know Hilliard did score two touchdowns last week, but homie had 12 snaps. Like he should have more this week, like you said, because they're
going to be playing from ahead in that game.
Yeah.
I thought Tennessee was terrible coming into the year. I was on the under on their wins. And I like the Giants getting the points in week one. I think Tennessee is just going to be one of the worst teams in that division. They just don't have it. I mean, Mike Vrabel's a hell of a coach. He's never had a losing season, but I just don't see it. And it's not a home underdog. Buffalo's home, and I just see Buffalo destroying them.
Yeah, I like that take. All right, sorry, I derailed us. Surprise RB2 of the week. We get to snake back to Bogman. And Bogman, you have the play of the week, I think. This is a guy I was going to take, but you beat me to the rank sheet because I think you and I are going to be much higher. Maybe people are going to adjust this week, but this one was a pretty easy one in my eyes, and you got
it. Yeah, Rona, sorry, you stole my first one, so I'm glad I don't get this one stolen from me. Give me Daryl Henderson against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, just an easy one. You know, what we saw last week out of Daryl Henderson was a guy with 55 snaps to 12 for Cam Akers. Maybe that gets a little closer this week because Cam Akers seems better. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, but Daryl Henderson is clearly the guy there. He also ran obviously way more routes, 39 to 10. He had five targets in the pass game as well. And I do think they're going to be putting a mud hole in the Atlanta Falcons at some point in this game because they're pissed and coming with extra rest here. So I just like Daryl Henderson specifically in garbage time to rip off some huge chunk runs against the Falcons. So DH.
My surprise RB2 of the week. I'm going to go back to the well with the Jets and Michael Carter. I'm going to go with Michael Carter. Now, obviously, defensively, it's not the best matchup, but Carter was getting the primary carries, and he was also getting a lot of the primary receptions. They'll go to Breece as well. but getting a 100 total yards, I think this offense is still going to move through him. I think the Browns are going to want them to try to beat them on the ground and are going to play more to some of those wide receivers. And either way, Michael Carter is just going to get some run. So if you're looking for a surprise RB2, that's what this one is about. This is, you know, a non-typical top 24 RB that can get in there. I think Michael Carter can do it again, especially with the receiving side. So I'm going to go with Carter. Ronis, your surprise RB2 guy that jumps kind of in, probably not typically inside the top 24 that gets there this week. Who do you got?
Henderson was a good one. I was considering him. I'll go with Travis Etienne. I think people are very down on him. Obviously, Robinson had the touchdowns, looked better. But again, Etienne, that was his first NFL game, dropped a touchdown, was wide open for a touchdown. I expect them to play from behind in this game against the Colts, who really need this game. I mean, that was just a very disappointing week one performance for the Colts. Again, a team that they should have beat. So I'll go with Etienne. I think people are going to be down on him. And I think you got to stick with him for this week.
I almost picked him too, so that's a really good one. Now sleeper running back. So this is deep. You probably, you know, maybe you question to put him in the flex. Maybe he's not already there, but your sleeper running back of the week, who do you got?
All right. Well, so it's someone that you would put in the lineup.
Well, like I would say sleeper is like probably not a typical top 36 running back, you know, like we might find reasons to get them in like a flex spot or something like that. But this is a sleeper running back, a deeper sleeper running back of the week that you want to get in.
All right. I'll go Kenneth Gainwell. We saw Philly run the ball a lot. You know, he could get some goal line carries. I mean, Sanders looked good in week one, but you see Philly running the ball a ton. And that game should be a real fun one to watch. I think you saw you're going to see a lot of points. I think the total is, what, 51 between Philly and Minnesota? And that'll be the Monday night game we watch as the Bills are up big on the Titans early and everyone switches over.
The guy I'm going to go with this week, we actually mentioned him a little bit earlier in this show, and I'm taking a look. He is outside the top 45 on consensus rankers for Fantasy Pros. I think I've got him at 36 this week, and I'm going with Khalil Herbert, who we talked about, who with the Bears, he looked better than David Montgomery. If you watch the game, he made better cuts. He's, I think, could be more involved in the passing game. I do worry that they want to get David Montgomery going and he could get more of the run, but Herbert just looked better, and the Green Bay Packers gave up 120-something yards on the ground last time. And I think you're going to get a little bit more shares on Herbert. And if they're playing from behind, I think you're going to see more of him. Again, I do worry about like the 17 carries early on that they gave, but they really seem to move to Herbert in the mid-side. So I'm going to go with Herbert as my sleeper RB this week, who's not even inside the top 45. Boggs, who do you got?
Give me Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead is ranked one spot ahead of Herbert in half PPR here, which is really surprising. Yeah, he's ranked at 45 right
45
now.
45 in the week.
I would have been a layup. I would have taken that one then.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You got him.
Don't you have to rank him ahead of Pierce this week?
I did. That's so funny you say that, because I struggled when I was doing my first run of my ranks last night.
I got him at 32, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how I put Pierce over him right now.
I don't see how you can based on what we saw last week.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
I got Pierce at 35 because I do think we'll get more of a mix as we move forward. But yeah, you have to put Burkhead ahead of Pierce because he played 73% of the snaps to 27 for Damian Pierce. So this isn't like a Melvin Gordon, Javonte 60-40 mix. It's 75-25.
And right now, Burkhead's going to get most of the passing down work.
You'll get all of the passing down work. And they should be losing.
They should be losing. I mean, again, we would have said the same thing at week one.
Yeah.
But then if that's the case, you would have expected more Pierce with them with a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, and it didn't happen.
And it doesn't really matter. We saw the Broncos miss 8 million tackles on Monday Night Football. So Burkhead.
One thing you do have to consider, I think the lack of a preseason was so obvious this week. A lot of these teams,
we were talking about that
bad first halves, especially in the 1 p.m. games. So I think
the Bengals and Rams are perfect examples, Ronis, because they didn't play their starters throughout most of the you know, they're just in the Super Bowl, but they didn't play their starters in the preseason, and they got smacked week one, both of them.
Yeah, and a lot of them, these teams look bad. So I think you'll see, especially over the next couple weeks, a little bit different. I think it's going to be difficult to really gauge. You know, everyone wants to react, oh, this team sucks, they're going to be terrible. Remember last year, week one, Green Bay lost 38-3 to the Saints. Their season turned out fine.
Yeah.
All right. Same scheme we're going with the running backs, but we're going to go to the wide receivers. So Bogman, we are snaking over to you. So this is your surprise wide receiver one for week two, guy that's going to jump in as a wide receiver one this week.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Let's go with Courtland Sutton as our surprise wide receiver one here. We just saw what Michael Pittman with some size did against Houston last week. Let's go with Courtland Sutton, who saw a decent amount of targets from Russell Wilson, playing with some size against this Texans defense and bodying up Derek Stingley. Derek Stingley looked like a rookie week one. So I think Sutton has a pretty big game here.
It might be Jerry Jeudy. Just be on the lookout. Might be Jerry Jeudy. A couple other targets, but yeah, I get you. 100 yards, better than Sutton. Bogman and I were tweeting about the Kinlaw Jeudy thing will never end. And Ronis is just like, when the 49ers drafted Kinlaw and didn't draft Jeudy, I lost my mind. And they're now forever attached. And like, as soon as Jeudy caught one pass last night, I just text Bogman. I'm like, you know, Jeudy greater than Kinlaw.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this is Judy's best game as a pro. And I was not wrong. Yeah, it definitely was
incredible. All right. But the guy I'm going to go with, I'm going to pair it with the quarterback, and I don't need to go into crazy stuff with it, but I'm going to go with this game. I'm not pairing with the quarterback, but I'm going into this game. I'm going with Marquise Brown. I'm going high offense with the Raiders and the Cardinals. Marquise Brown did save our day last week. And I think it's going to be a lot bigger focal offense for Marquise Brown. And I believe he's like, what the hell is he? Is he like 13 or 14 or something like that on the list? He's 14 on the list. It's a pretty good matchup as far as the Raiders go. Raiders giving up some offense. So I like Marquise Brown in this one. Whole lot of focus on him this week. So give me him as my wide receiver one. Ronis, who do you got as your surprise wide receiver one?
I think I could give you 20 guesses and you wouldn't get it. So I'm kind of swinging for the fence here. If this guy plays, Alan Lazard.
Okay. Ooh, love, yeah, love, love, I mean, love.
You saw Christian Watson wide open, dropped the pass. Green Bay really struggled. Again, if you go back, they tend to struggle in week one. Aaron Rodgers, for some reason, gets off to slow starts. And what does he get? The remedy that always cures all his ills. A home primetime game against the Bears, the team that he owns. So if Lazard plays this week, I think he'll be locked into him, give him a ton of targets, and maybe he finds the end zone twice. So Alan Lazard.
I love this one too, because like if Rodgers could have the option to never throw to a guy that has 2 years less experience, he would. And all he's going to want to do is go Lazard, Dylan Jones, Lazard, Dylan Jones, never throw to Watson, any of that stuff. So I really like this one. All right. So we'll swing back around on the snake. Now you're surprised wide receiver two. So again, a guy, you know, maybe in the 30s or whoever that jumps up into a non-typical wide receiver two. So your surprise wide receiver two of this week is?
Okay. I don't know where he's ranked, but I think a lot of people are going to be down on him. And I think it's a bounce back week. Allen Robinson. You saw some of the routes he was getting open. Stafford just couldn't get him the ball. He was under constant pressure. It's a much easier matchup this week. I expect the Rams offense to bounce back. I know they have some issues with the offensive line, but they're going up against Atlanta. They have extended rest. And we did hear McVay say after the game, we got to get the ball to Allen Robinson. So I think this is a bounce back spot for Allen Robinson.
28 on half PPR and Fantasy Pros right now. So it's a great call. The one I meant when I was saying earlier, I'm going to stick in the same game that I was just at, but now pairing with my quarterback. I think Hunter Renfrow is going to have a rebound game against the Cardinals. Again, Cardinals secondary, poop, it's trash. Third and Renfrow, he's going to get peppered with balls. They're going to attempt whatever they can to try to hone in on Devontae Adams. This could be a Waller game, but I think this is going to be a big Renfrow game, and I think he's going to break out big. So he's going to jump into that wide receiver two territory where he's in the 30s on Fantasy Pro rank. So that's my pick. Boggs, surprise wide receiver two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Give me Elijah Moore. He's ranked 31 in half PPR. for this week, and I think he could put up a wide receiver one game against the Cleveland Browns. I think the Jets will be losing. We just saw Joe Flacco throw 150 passes last week. I think it was 59 is what he threw last week, and he spread the ball around. We saw everybody get a decent amount of targets. Elijah Moore had a tough game last week. I think he bounces back and gets in the end zone at least once in this game against Cleveland, so give me Eli Moore.
Final one, sleeper wide receiver for the week. So same context we did with running backs. And Boggs, you get to kick it off. And I would have picked your guy again had I gotten to the sheet before. But you got the top dog. Who you get?
Let's go with Ronis's number one surprise QB1. Let's go Jahan Dotson. We saw Dotson on the field for a ton of snaps last week. Obviously, the two touchdowns, he has gained a lot of trust from Carson Wentz. So I think this should be a nice, fun shootout-y game, a lot like we just saw 38-35 in Philly and Detroit. I think the score is going to be very high in this one as well, and Dotson gets some decent work. So give me Jahan Dotson.
Surprise, I'm going to go with Devin Duvernay. I know he had a big game last week. You don't want to like piggyback on all of those, but I think Baltimore might be playing from behind again. Miami looked good, and the offense looks good, and I'm worried about what the run game is going to look like with Baltimore and how they're going to adjust. And if so, if you're getting more passing, I think you saw more concerted effort for Lamar to pass, and Devin Duvernay got some of those big targets. So I'm going to say surprise wide receiver this week. It's not like the greatest matchup in the world, but I think it's someone that you can bounce to. I'm going to go with Devin Duvernay. Ronis, you get to finish it off here. Final guy, sleeper wide receiver for the week.
Josh Palmer of the Chargers. Keenan Allen, they're already saying, likely not going to play, which we expected. Short week, Thursday night game. Chiefs and Chargers, both games came down to the final possession last year. I see a competitive game. I know Palmer's stat line looked bad in week one, but he played a lot. He'll be on the field, and I expect him to have a good game. I think many people were drafting him, you know, 11th, 12th round, thinking, okay, if Keenan Allen or Mike Williams go down, Palmer could step in to a bigger role. He's got Herbert throwing him the ball, so Josh Palmer.
Yeah, me and Brendan Funston over on the Athletic Fantasy Football podcast this week, we're both, you know, saying like Palmer's like the number one wide receiver that we'd be looking at as far as anybody, just because of like the production you can get out of him for this week. So I like that one. We like Adam Ronis. You can find him on Twitter at Adam Ronis. All the great stuff. Ronis, you've been doing the straight hustle. I didn't realize how much stuff you got going on, but I love it because you're one of the best in the business, my friend.